back up.
All right, Song of Solomon 1. The Song of Solomon chapter 1. We'll read verses 1 to 6 in a moment. You know, I have two prayers, two supplications before I ever stand here. I pray that they would never change. It's that first, God's name would be magnified and glorified. And second, that you would be edified, strengthened, spoken to. That you would be given something from the Spirit of God, from the Word of God, to take with you as you go out back into the world, back on the battlefield. This is like coming in garrison. We come into the safety of the presence of God, under the shadow of His wings. We gather together as the saints. When we go out, we're once again in the world. But I pray as we walk the Christian life that we would more and more be not of the world, that we would be in the world and not of it. That being said, when you come into the assembly, you don't just turn God on like a switch. You don't just turn this love on that is spoken of in the Song of Solomon like a switch. You can't come to a passage like this and think to glean even a little bit of the sweetness of this love if you're not walking with God by faith and obedience to His Word every single day out there in the world by yourself. You know, you take one coal away from the rest of the burning coals and it will cool and die. But as long as that coal's with the hot coals, it has the warmth of the other coals. So there is that atmosphere, that warmth in the assembly of God. And sometimes people can be a part of that, but when you go out in the world, beloved, that's where the Christian life counts. Can you go out and walk by faith in the Son of God? Can you love Christ out there all by yourself? One little coal, can you keep your heat? Listen, if you'd be spoken to by the Spirit of God and the preaching of God's Word, not just in the Song of Solomon, but if you would know the love of Christ here, intimate communion with Christ must not be foreign to you out there. Must not be foreign to me out there in the world. This cannot be the only time in which we attempt nearness to God. This can't be the only time. If this is the only time, then it's going to be a very difficult venture, if I might say so myself. You cannot expect to come to the church gathering and turn your faith and love on again like a switch. I'm not saying this again just because we are in the Song of Solomon's. When you come to the gathering of the saints for worship, you should be bringing your practiced faith here. You should be coming with your practiced faith, with your practiced obedience, with your love to Christ here. That's what we bring into the assembly, beloved. That's one of the marks of a healthy church. And beloved, we want to be that. I'm not saying we're not that. I'm just trying to encourage you. With that Song of Solomon 1, the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because of the savor, the fragrance of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. I am black but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. And so it's as if the tents of Kedar were black and scorched from the sun. But within, she says, so outwardly I'm scorched, but inwardly I am beautiful like the curtains of Solomon's palace. Look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. Let's pray. Father, please help us as we open up this small portion of the Word of God. I pray that you would speak as only you can, Father, do that which I cannot do, and that is to make the word effectual. Father, enliven it, give it life. Father, give it power by your Spirit. Father, take it like a barbed arrow, and Father, pierce the hearts of your people. Prick our hearts. Speak to us, O God. O Lord, we ask for what is one of the greatest blessings that we could ever ask for, and that is to be spoken to by the living God. And so we call upon you for that, O Lord. We humbly pray for it. We thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, as I heard my brother's message just today, and he said, "Behold the man," the words of Pontius Pilate, but what do we behold in the man Christ Jesus? Oh, Father, he is beautiful. He is altogether lovely. We thank you for his precious blood shed for our sins. And we come to you now and we ask, Father, for a word from thee. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember what we learned last time. It seems the bridegroom was not personally with the bride. No doubt the bride had been a recipient of this man's great love for her. This is why she desired his kisses. She's not speaking personally to him, but notice she's speaking of him as one who desired his love and affection. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. She's not having a dialogue with him, but she's speaking about him. This should be how we think as children of God. Our thoughts should consistently be toward our Lord. As we traverse the world, as we go about our jobs and the things that we do, we should be thinking upon our Lord. We should desire his love and affection. This is not in context, but do you remember what Delilah said to Samson when she was trying to find out the secret of his great strength? Do you remember what she said to him? She said, "How canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me?" How can thou say that thou lovest me? How can you say, I love thee, when thy heart is not with me? Now, yes, she was trying to deceive him, but nonetheless, her words may certainly be applied to each of us in our relationship with Christ, beloved. How can you say you love Christ if your heart is not with Christ? If your heart is not with Christ. Yes, she was trying to deceive him. Remember what the kisses of Christ signify. They signify his gracious words, his grace, which is, the scriptures tell us, Psalm 45, grace is poured into his lips and therefore poured out unto thee, Christian. The gladness that his love brings to the human soul is far better than the temporary gladness and merriment of the best earthly wine. Verse 3, because the savor or fragrance of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Just short review, brethren. Remember, his name is his person. When somebody says your name to someone else, and they know you, immediately your reputation, your person is in their thoughts. So Jesus' name is his person. She might as well be saying everything about him is like the sweet fragrance of a perfumed ointment that has been unsealed and poured out. His name, again, is his person. His name is his love. His words, his works, his promises, his graces, his mercies, his compassion, everything about him, beloved, is sweet and lovely to the bride. Everything about Christ should be sweet and lovely to us. Everything about him, everything that we read about him. Therefore, do the virgins love thee, as verse 3 closes out. Though the church is represented as one woman, she's represented here as one woman, the bride, and Christ is represented as the bridegroom. So though she is represented as one woman, she represents all believers who are undefiled and lovers of Christ and Christ alone. That's who the church is. Now, verse 4, as we move on, she says, draw me, we will run after thee. Now, this should be the heart language and supplication of every child of God. But before you commend the bride, look harder, child of God. This is actually a confession of her infirmity and shame. Think about it. Think about it. She says, draw me, we will run after thee. This is her confession of her infirmity, of her shame, of her deadness, of her sinfulness, that she must be drawn to the one that is altogether lovely. That she must be drawn by forces that are not within her. That she does not naturally run to the one who is altogether lovely. I think of this in myself, and I think this is my infirmity. Because there's not a one of us who approach God on our own, who approach Christ on our own. Every single one of us needed to be drawn to Him. She says, draw me, we will run after thee. But wait a minute, didn't she just express her desire to be kissed by Him? Why then must she be drawn to Him if she just desired the kisses of His lips? Listen, indeed, Christ is altogether lovely, but understand that she was altogether sinful. If He did not draw her, she would not come. If Christ did not draw me to Himself, I would not come. This is why she calls to Him for aid. She acknowledges her infirmity. She acknowledges her need to be drawn to Him. John 6:44, you know it. No man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. I need you, Lord, to draw me. It's a worthy supplication, not just a one-time supplication. I need you, Lord, to draw me. I need you to keep drawing me to thyself. Beloved, we need this continual drawing to Christ. Change my heart, Lord. Enlarge my heart, Lord. Make me to come after you. Let me show you at Psalm 36. Let me show you a blessing here. Go there. Psalm 36, just one verse. Psalm 36 and verse 10. The book of the Psalms, 36 and verse 10. Let's just read verses 7 to 10. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. And then notice, oh, continue. That word is draw out. Oh, continue, Lord, to send forth your loving kindness unto them that know thee. Continue it. It's not a one-time thing, beloved. Continue to draw me. Continue thy loving kindness to them that know thee means those that love thee. Those that know thee intimately. Continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee and thy righteousness. The word continue is implied there. Continue thy righteousness to the upright in heart. What a blessing. Note in verse 4, if you go back to Song of Solomon, interestingly enough here, he says, draw me, singular. You see that? Draw me, we will run after thee. Draw me, we, the plural, will run after thee. So why me to we? Why is that? Well, again, Christ is represented as one man. The church is represented as one woman. But, beloved, although this relationship is between one man and one woman, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is made up of many souls, many members. Yet she is one body in Christ. She is not brides. She is the bride. And so, draw me, saith the bride, we. Beloved, she speaks of the church. She speaks of many souls, I believe. But back to the point, what was the bride's ardent desire and supplication? And listen, this should be ours. We should know our infirmity. We should know that I have need to be drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so back to the point, the bride's ardent desire and supplication, Lord, I need you to draw me to thee. And when you do, I will run after thee. Draw me, I will run after thee. Notice it's not I'll walk, but I will run. Psalm 119, verse 32. Back up there. Psalm 119 and verse 32. This is a rich portion of the Word of God, brethren. Psalm 119 and verse 32. The psalmist says, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt draw me, when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Verse 35, make me, in the Hebrew, that means draw me. Make me to go in the path. Draw me into the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Oh, beloved, that this would be our hearts. This would be our supplications. You want to know what praying in accordance to the will of God is? Here it is right here. Draw me. You know that's the will of God. Draw me. I will run after thee. She says, the king brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. So after she was drawn to him, she ran to him. She was brought into the king's chambers by the king himself. By the way, this was all the king's doing. You've seen those reports when the soldiers come home from being deployed for a long time, and you see the soldiers coming off and you see those women running to their men. So the woman says, draw me, I will run. Note here, when she is drawn, she didn't take her time. She didn't mosey. She didn't linger. She ran to Christ. Didn't you run to Christ when he drew you to himself? When he draws, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. So we run to Christ. Her running to him, beloved, is an expression of her joy and gladness, of her rejoicing in him. That's the joy. You see kids when they haven't seen their dad or their mom for a long time, and they run, Dad! You've seen that. Beloved, that's their joy. They rejoice to see their father and their mother. Here the bride rejoices to see the bridegroom. There is no other gladness. There is no other rejoicing like this. To be brought into nearness with Christ and into his presence, there's no other joy like that. And in verses 5 and 6, we'll finish here kind of halfway. She says, I am black but comely. I am black but comely, saith the bride. She speaks of herself. I am black but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. We'll speak of this next time. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. And listen, when she says, I am black, she's not speaking of her ethnicity. She is mourning and grieving because of her sins and her unworthiness to be brought into the presence of such a king. Look at Jeremiah 8. Jeremiah said the same thing. We'll just look at one of these instances. Jeremiah 8:21. Jeremiah 8:21. There's actually a marginal rendering here of the Hebrew. Jeremiah 8 and verse 21. Verse 20 says, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt, the grief, the sorrow of the daughter of my people, am I hurt? I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold upon me. She mourned for the sins of her people. The bride's confession is similar to that of Ruth the Moabitess in her confession to Boaz, if you remember that, when he took notice of her when she was gleaning with the maidens or among the maidens of Bethlehem. Remember, she was a Moabitess. She wasn't of Israel. She went back to Bethlehem. She was not like the maidens of Boaz. She took note of that. She said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me. And for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like one of thine handmaids. Though I be not like one of thine handmaids. Beloved, the woman of the Song of Solomon was not royalty. She worked the vineyards. Like Ruth, who gleaned the fields. Her darkness is likened to the tents of Kedar. She says, I am black, saith the bride, but beautiful. Her blackness signified her afflictions, her persecutions, which she endured. But within she was likened to the beautiful curtains of Solomon's palaces. You remember the good seed among the stony ground. And anon it comes up quickly, but the sun scorched it. Remember that. You remember the explanation of the Lord Jesus. Matthew and Mark say this. And they speak of tribulation, distress, and persecution ariseth because of the word. That's similar to what the bride speaks of here. She says, do not look upon my infirmities and my afflictions. So often we do that, don't we? When we look at people's lives, we may look at the lives of Christians. The lost may look at your life and they may see nothing lovely in that. They don't see anything lovely in your sufferings. They see you suffering. But notice the bride says, don't look at that. Look within. Look within. And you know what? The King loves me, even with my infirmities. How do I know that? Because the King has told me that He loves me. Beloved, this is that love that, beloved, we must enter into by faith. The King's told me that, she says. Yes, I am afflicted and I am persecuted, but the King loves me. He thinks I am very, very beautiful. He's told me so. In fact, look at verse 15. He says, in chapter 1, verse 15, he says, behold, thou art fair, my love. That's the bride. Behold, thou art fair, thou hast dove's eyes. Look at chapter 4 and verse 1. He says the same thing. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilboa. And then verse 7 of the same. Thou art fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. Beloved, that's how He's going to present you. Now unto Him that is able to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. You go to Revelation 21. You don't have to go there, but you can see that the city of Jerusalem descended out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband, no spot or blemish. The King loves His bride. And it's an amazing thing to consider that Jesus loves me even with my infirmities. Me? Even me? He loves me? How could that be? But He has told me that He loves me. Brethren, look not upon my sins. Look not upon my infirmities. Because as Psalm 45 says, we'll close there. Psalm 45, if you'll turn there. Psalm 45, verse 11, or verse 10. The psalmist says, hearken, O daughter, and consider and incline thine ear, and forget also thine own people and thy father's house, so shall the King greatly desire thy beauty. For He is thy Lord, and worship thou Him. And the daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift. Even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. The King's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought unto the King in raiment of needlework. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the King's palace. What a blessing, my brethren. Back to Song of Solomon, we'll close. Back to the Song of Solomon. Verse 4 to 6. She says, draw me. We will run after thee. That's a worthy supplication for every one of us, brethren. The King hath brought me into his chambers. nearness to Christ. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. I am black but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. And we'll pick up there next time. Let's dismiss in prayer. Father, please help us, O God, to understand. Father, even more than that, I pray that you would help us to enter into this love, O God. I pray that you would draw each one of us to thee. Draw us to thyself, O Lord, and we will run after thee. O God, we desire nearness to thee, but not just here, Father. We can't just think to come here. This can't be the only place where we attempt nearness to thee. O God, may we know the intimacy of thy presence all by ourselves as we walk our Christian lives in the world. Help us, Father, to know this, to know the love of Christ, O God. To know this love between Christ and his bride. Help us. We thank you, O God, for your word. What a treasure it is. We thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Heavenly Father, for grace. Father, for the remaining hours of this day. And we'll give you the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.